Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text is the lection just read to you. And I must confess at the outset that I'm unable to look at this text anymore without remembering an event that happened in my ministry not so very long ago out in Baltimore, Maryland. It involved a group called the Forever Family, a cult, if you will. And this particular text was used by that cult to prey upon high school students, teenagers, capitalizing on the fact that many teenagers have conflicts with their parents, and they sometimes feel that mom and dad are hassling them. Members of the Forever Family would come along and meet people in hamburger shops and sit down next to them and begin to show this passage to them and say, "See, this is saying that you've got to leave your family. They're not Christian, otherwise why would they be hassling you? So come live with us." And your imaginations can picture what has happened in these cases. And as is so often the case, you kind of stumble into this after the damage has been done. And suddenly you're confronted by the fact that the people who are doing this kind of thing, who are recruiting other people to become members of the Forever Family, are people whom you know. In my case, they were some young men and some young women who sat in my classes, and I can remember exactly where they sat in the classes and which period of the day I had them. And I liked them and I cared about them. And yet what I saw happening was frightening, alarming. And the Word of God that says you ought to love God more than brother or sister or father or mother or somebody that was in your class speaks very clearly. And your instincts tell you this is something that's got to be opposed. And you don't sit back and say, well, we'll just kind of let it happen and quietly keep our mouths shut. This is the kind of situation in which you go out and you aggressively proclaim the Word of God and say, this is what God said. This is wrong. This is leading in the wrong direction. This will lead to your eternal damnation, your soul being lost. And you find yourself with a kind of a unique problem. Because the people that you're opposing are people that you love. And you may find, or have already found, that some people that you've got to go out against and speak harshly and clearly against are loved ones. It's your father we're talking about. It's your mother. It's your brother. It's your wife. It's your son. It's your daughter. And that becomes hard. Because we find ourselves so easily falling into the trap of guilt. Guilt because we love that person. And we don't want to do those kinds of things. We don't want to say upsetting things. When we love somebody, we want it to be a nice, quiet, peaceful relationship. And we want everything to go smoothly. And yet we find ourselves responding to this Word of God that says we've got to love God more than we love our neighbor or our brother or sister or whoever it might be. Please note that the text says love more than these people. It doesn't say we stop loving these people. We love God and we love them. And we find ourselves in the dilemma that if I love God and oppose them, I find myself wanting to shake them, wanting to hit them in the head with a baseball bat to make them stop anything. And I don't find myself acting very lovingly, and I feel guilty about that, and there are traps to be avoided. But if I concentrate on loving them, then I find myself feeling guilty because maybe I'm not opposing them hard enough. I'm not standing up enough for the truth. And the dilemma and the confusion and the agony and the pain comes. And we say, well, what do you do? What do you do? How do you handle that situation? Perhaps many of you already know that there are no easy solutions. But I would remind you this day of just one thing. Something that you know, but it was while we were yet sinners that Christ died for us. And that's more than an example, far more than an example of saying to us, now folks, you know, Christ did it, he managed to love the enemy, so now you go out and do the same. That might not help very much just to have the example. But that word is saying to us in those combatant situations, in the conflict, that our God in his grace and mercy comes to us
forgive. Forgive the inadequacy of our situation, the fact that we're really not up to making some of these fine distinctions and always doing it the right way. Forgiving us for doing the wrong thing, for coming with against violence with violence, or whatever it is we find ourselves, because of our human nature, slipping into. God's grace is sufficient for that. And of course, that's no excuse. That doesn't say, well, go ahead and use whatever you want and don't worry about it. But there is that peace that can be ours through Jesus Christ, that we are indeed forgiven in those situations. But there's also forgiveness for that enemy, for that person whom we are against. God's grace is sufficient for both sides of the conflict. And that gives us hope when you look into the eyes of somebody whom you know, when your heart is touched with fear by the fact that maybe this loved one, according to what I read in the scripture, I don't want to judge, but it looks to me like everything I know about the Word of God is saying this is a person who's going to wind up hell, and that scares me. That causes my heart to wrench and my stomach to turn, and I don't want to face that thought, and I want to run from it. But rather than running from it, you and I can know that God's grace is sufficient. And we can know that the simplicity of salvation, that even for this enemy who is doing damage, serious damage, all that is needed is that they repent and have faith, and they too shall live. It's so simple. And the reason it's so simple is because of the power of the gospel. That gospel is not just a series of words that we've memorized in a class, but it is the dynamite of God. It can change lives. And it can change the life of somebody who is doing some drastically desperate kinds of things. And you and I can have reason for hope, resting on the grace of God, knowing that by His grace there is mercy and forgiveness for that person who sins and who causes us to fear and quake over their future. There are no simple solutions for handling that situation. But we need to remind ourselves that there is grace, forgiveness, love, mercy, and abundance for both sides of the conflict. And so when it's necessary to go out and fight and do battle for the faith, or fight for the soul and lives of people whom you know and love, go out and fight. Fight valiantly and love them intensely. But go the dynamite of God, with the gospel, and proclaim it clearly and winsomely and strongly and powerfully with all the energy that you have. For there is grace enough for both sides. And God is God, and it's His message of grace, and He makes it work.